Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And a special offer to I'ma Let You Finish listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/I'ma Let You, I'mmaletu. That's betterhelp.com/I'ma Let You, I'mmaletu. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's I've had two cups of coffee. Let's
Should
start
I stop
over.
Dancing? Is Let's that stop. Throwing you off? That was my tribute. My tribute to Leslie Jordan.
I've had two cups of coffee. Okay.
Oh, I'm on my third. You're a pussy.
What's up? What's up, everybody? It's
I'm gonna let you finish.
Show number 116 on the Pantheon Podcast Network. Okay, I made it too. You know what it is? I think the fact that this show's been on longer than the last three prime ministers have served in
no,
the UK,
really.
It's making my mind.
We can't keep up.
It's like
Mambo's of Menudo. Like, who's in the band now?
We are political heavyweights. We have lasted longer than three world leaders in one country.
I know. It's incredible. It's really incredible.
The
Knicks winning streak is longer than Liz Truss's.
The Knicks winning streak is longer than Liz Truss, who served for 44 days and still gets the full prime minister.
Well, they haven't decided that yet. They're still waiting on that.
I'm like, that's some fucking bullshit. Like,
no,
come on.
Yeah.
You can't try to drop some economic policies, blow up the country, quit, and be like, I get £150,000 a year for life?
I think her goal going in was to fuck up the country. I think she might have wanted to stick around to at least get on a tour.
Which I watched her press conference when she was resigning. Her energy seemed very much like, oh, well.
She's horrible. She was horrible going in. And the new guy is horrible, too. He's just better looking and horrible. That's all. He's horrible. They're all horrible.
Naomi Campbell loves him.
Also horrible.
Well,
of course she does. Because he's rich. I'm sorry.
She does love a billionaire.
Naomi Campbell was sleeping with oligarchs.
I mean...
Yeah. She's an indiscriminate breeder, that Naomi Campbell. All right. Speaking of hoes. All right. So listen.
Uh-huh. Come on.
I need to frame this in I am not being ageist because I am 1 year younger than Madonna. So this is not an ageist thing. This is you are not supposed to tell people you're a legend. You are not supposed to call yourself a groundbreaker. That is the job for other people to tell you. So for Madonna and the sex book, it was groundbreaking for its time in good ways because this is pre-internet and pre just being able to show your ass on television.
And she was, so she was raped over the coals for all of those things.
She was raped over the coals, mm-hmm. but her saying, you know, she made some self-serving, look at me, I've broken ground, grammatically incorrect, I'm a trailblazer, I'm a feminist. We won't even get into the fact of how she secured part of her career. We're not going to go into that. But blah, blah, blah. Yeah, she's great. And then ended it with, if it wasn't for me, how Kim Kardashian got thrown into this thing, because she's not an artist, but Cardi B, Kim Kardashian, and you can thank me now, bitches, with a clown emoji. All right, so number one, it's utterly disrespectful. And number two, I'm sorry, Madonna, you're the first woman to talk about your sexuality and have sexual Grace Jones, women blues singers in the 20s and the teens. Should we go down the list? No,
hold on. I don't think she was saying I'm the first woman to talk about sex, but really the way she presented sex, you remember that time, it was really controversial. Women weren't supposed to talk about sex. It was almost like you guys didn't have sex, right? You were just like sex objects for men to ogle. And when she put that book out, I mean, it just was like people were calling for her death, the end of her career. I mean, we're talking 1993. You make that face now in 2022.
I'm not making a face.
I'm just meaning like for everybody in 2022 because it just seems lightweight. But I do remember the vitriol and everything that happened. And it lasted for a really long time. And how much... So, again, it was the anniversary of the sex book. I think with Madonna...
And erotica, too.
And erotica. It was... I hate when people are trying to make their point by bringing other people into their argument. There are ways to talk about what that book meant at the time, and the doors you felt like you, and the walls you were pushing at to show that women could be sexual beings and can own their sexuality without having to name other women and say, you guys could thank me. And yeah, I've heard a million different people say, a lot of pop stars now, oh, Madonna, from back in the day, the shit that she was doing in video and she was pushing boundaries for women in pop. Great. I think that some people will debate that and others will say that's absolutely true.
Right.
I just hate that she's so self-serving in it.
She's so self-serving.
That the point gets lost.
Right.
And it's like you completely are squandering your full legacy. Like, you know what Madonna's going to be? Like, you remember how Michael Jackson in the later years of his life was so controversial, but then when he died, all of a sudden he was vaunted. It's not going to be until she dies that she's appreciated, because she's doing everything she can to really stomp out her legacy. And it's really weird.
I think she's appreciated.
But like, I think people see her as a joke now.
But she, like I said, her impact on pop music has never been questioned. It's just the fact, and this is where I talked about the age. Why do you have to be like, and if it wasn't for me, bitch, kiss my ass? Because there were women that you could make a very good argument that Madonna, if not for Debbie Harry, there wouldn't be Madonna. Should we go down the list of people that Madonna, Madonna was great, but she wasn't an original thought. There is no original thought. So, and I can get into a whole nother discussion about why owning your sexuality has to mean being sexually explicit. That's a whole other conversation. But it's just very tacky. It's very mean-spirited. It's just unnecessary. Why are you competing against Cardi B, who's not even making your kind of music, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. I will say this for Madonna. It makes me angry because you know how much I love Madonna. Madonna has been my girl since Everybody. And, you know, I came up going to the clubs since I was a teenager, and Madonna was the shit in the clubs. Like, she was the one who a lot of people came out of clubs and made records and had varying degrees of success. But, you know, Madonna, every song just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. To see her need so badly for people to just, I don't know, be at her feet. And then when I watch the way she acts, it's like, well, you don't, I'm not an ageist person. I'm fucking 55 years old. So it's not about, oh, you should act a certain way when you're a certain age.
Well, that's but what I'm sorry,
but when I watch her, it's like the desperation of it all is like, you should walk
be into gracious.
You should walk, but she's never been.
Well, she's never been, but
even
so much
when
all
she was younger and hot, she was never gracious. And now what we're seeing it as she's it like this version of Madonna, it seems like bitterness when it's like, lady, your record holds up for you. You're always starting something with these younger girls. Now, I get it. To me, when she was saying bitches, she was saying it in a way almost the way us queens say bitches, not calling somebody a bitch, but saying bitches. Yeah. But when you leave it up to interpretation in these days, especially with the younger set, there is no nuance. Like, they see bitch, you're calling me a bitch. There's no nuance.
Well, right? I think it was also the clown emoji.
The clown emoji.
I mean, I just think it was mean. It was mean-spirited. It's mean-spirited.
But she's been mean, right? That's the
right,
thing.
Right, so let's...
She's been... So, I mean, to me, that's on brand. It's like, oh, Madonna did something mean.
I also just don't... And then I really just want to stop. I really don't... I'm tired of her. She's basically struggling for relevance. But I will say, not to get too fine a point about it, it never looks good when a white woman is attacking a woman of color. And that's not where the source of it is. Why Kim Kardashian got dragged is Kim Kardashian has enough on her plate right now. But I just don't think for Madonna has never, Madonna is not the first person to show her ass in public and sing about sex. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. But she is the one who took it mainstream, and she was global at a time where there were a lot of people. Like, I love Grace Jones, but Grace Jones is still niche, right? And it's like, but Madonna at that time was on every television set. MTV was king.
Being a hot white girl, being a hot white girl never helped hurts, right?
I just wish that she would have some more grace in her Madonna-ness.
She won't. She's never going to be. It's going to be worse and worse and worse. It's just going to get worse. She's just, you know, she was never a nice person.
I still love her, though. She's still my girl.
You can love her. You can love her music, but she's not a good person. You know, I mean, we can just, her music is great. It stands up, but she's clearly not happy. Beyonce, can I just say something? And I'm not saying this. Why is it news when a major recording artist decides to announce the thing that's the most obvious thing?
Wait. It's major news because they raffle tickets to a tour that still hasn't been announced. And everybody is like, oh, my God, next summer. And it's like, okay. Yes, I absolutely think that usually people put out a record and then they go out on the road to promote.
I know,
it
seems like kind of like, duh. You know what I mean? Unless you're a studio band that really honestly, in a way, doesn't exist. Yeah, all right, so Beyonce's going to go on tour.
And evidently we're going to talk about this with our guest, Jody Rosen. Taylor Swift was on the Today Show.
Jimmy Fallon, and she
teased a tour, essentially, because I guess the new thing now is to tease the tour and be like,
oh God, it's so boring.
I really want to go.
Yeah, it's so boring.
Why have I become obsessed with Taylor Swift?
I don't know.
It's adult onset. I don't know what happened. I do.
That's like, you know what this teasing a tour is like? It's like a 5-year-old going, I think I'm going to go to kindergarten. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what happens. You go to kindergarten when you're 5 or 4, if you're a little genius. So yay, Taylor Swift is having a tour. I'm planning on washing my hair at some point this week. Maybe tomorrow. I'll wash it tomorrow.
Oh, and evidently there are a bunch of companies that are cutting ties with that guy whose name we're not saying on this show anymore.
Let's
have to mention that. We talk about the biggest stories that is happening in music. That's a big one. We just don't have to say any names. Can I just say this? It's all dumb. Everything is just dumb. We are so low and in the toilet and pop culturally that I'm like, I wish we would just flush the toilet on a whole bunch of people.
Want to flush it? Let's start here. I'm sorry. I'm done. I really am. It ceased to be. It's not even amusing anymore.
No, it's not. It's long not been amusing.
He's fomenting hate crimes. Full story.
It's kind of, and it's like when I watch everybody keeping on talking about this, it's like this It's like, do you not see the danger in hate and racism? Because it eventually shows up to everyone's door, whether you want it to
or
not.
It showed up on the 405 in L.A. this weekend.
I mean, right.
The 405 in L.A., a blue city in a blue state.
And in your timeline, you said you've seen something that have been very upsetting.
You know what? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it, Jody. It's hurtful to see. And these are mainly the Hoteppies, doing circles. It's like, stop. You know, one goes down, we all go down. Sit there and go, we only want to get rid of the black people and then go. And everybody else is like, have a party.
Why isn't anybody else understanding said fact? I'm like, guys, hi. They don't just stop at one.
They go full tilt.
Okay.
I remember my dad, and I was not raised in a religious household at all. I mean, I used to always joke about that I was Jewish. We never went to temple. We never did anything, blah, blah, blah. But I remember my dad, who's like an atheist. Okay. If you say God bless you in front of my dad, he looks at like you just like cursed him out. He said, just keep this in mind. When they start looking for the Jews, they're not going to ask you how Jewish you are. They're just going to go, oh, you're a Jew? Come with me. You know? So let's stop this. Okay. Do you want to talk? Let's just save Taylor for our Taylor.
Why don't we just introduce our esteemed guest?
Just one quick thing. MIA has always been a joke.
Oh God, like that chick.
Okay, so MIA said, you know, some QAnon-y kind of stuff. Here's what I want to say about MIA, whatever her goddamn name is. Two or three great songs. I'll give her the Gulag Gulag. That's a great song.
I like the one that goes na 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 na.
The Bang Shake, yeah,
yeah, whatever that was.
My feeling about MIA has always been that she's really hot, and the backstory is really interesting. And she's like Miss Fight the Power, and then she marries a Bronfman. So please,
my thing is Miss MIA can stay MIA, bitch. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares what you think? I am so tired of people trying to care about people who sing, telling you something to think. It's like people, because they sing or sell you a garment, they know any more than you. Merry Christmas.
I mean, we just spent, you know, we're a pop culture show, so we have to kind of. But
no,
the thing
I
is
didn't
what
say
she,
not talk about it. I'm just saying, who gives a fuck? What people need to stop caring what someone whose record they bought thinks about anything. Especially when they do it from their gated mansion in Malibu, overlooking the cliffs.
I just think it's like people assume that because of her background that she'd be. But yeah, the QAnon Alex Jones thing is like, just keep it moving. Just keep it moving. And the Knicks have won two games in a row, so dynasty.
Okay. No, it's a dynasty. We're in a dynasty period. It's a dynasty. It's a dynasty.
Dynasty.
And meanwhile, in Brooklyn, they keep losing. It's like
I don't understand.
And I'm not going to sit here and like we know our Knicks have been shit for a long time, people. We know. Stop trying to tell us. But at the same time, Brooklyn was like the white knight riding in on a horse when they came in. Every year at the beginning of the season, everybody's like, they are championship contenders. And it has been a mess every year. And now everyone has come back, and it is clear that this team's not happy. The big star wanted a trade. He didn't get traded. The other one wanted a trade. He didn't get traded. We got Ben Simmons, who was fouled out in the first games of the season. And they haven't won anything.
And we suck on a budget.
And they wanted their coach fired, and they still got him. What can you do?
Well, speaking of Brooklyn's finest, and I do mean the finest, we have a wonderful guest today, Mr. Jody Rosen, who is I don't know why I keep doing this. Nobody can see me, but I keep holding up things. So look, Jody and Courtney, you can see a backwards cover. So Jody is like, a very cool guy. He is a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine, way above my pay grade and your pay grade. We barely read. We're dumb. We read the Times online. His work has appeared in Slate, New York Magazine, The New Yorker. Whatever, Jody.
You know, come on. Let's
whatever, Jody. Whatever. And many other publications. He lives in Brooklyn. Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm kidding.
And he wrote a book on the history of the bicycle.
Oh my God. Two wheels good. I'm holding it up so you can see it.
I can see. You guys can't see me, but I'm just keeping my camera off because I'm in one of my children's rooms and it's just too.
Honestly,
we don't care. It's not going to be.
It's like
not
a super fun site in here. You know what I'm saying?
No, listen.
But we're not going to be visual. No, I wore earrings. Jody, I will tell you this.
At one point, we were trying to record video for a while, and then we saw each other, and we were like, I see why even the 23-year-olds have full lighting packages. Yeah, I think we're just going to keep this show audio for a while, because no one needs to see that. No one needs
That's
to
right.
see it.
Jody,
well, Jody and I only see each other on the corner of Fulton and South Oxford. That's the only time.
I go bicycling by and I wave to you, Amy. That's
thank
it.
You. Thank yeah. you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that somebody still knows me in this neighborhood.
All right, Jody, I need your help because I have become an adult. I have a disease. It's called adult onset Taylor Swift. And I grew up on country music. Okay. So this is not an anti-country music thing. I love country music. I still listen to country. But I did not give a shit about her when she was younger in those records. I know they were big records. The only thing that really got my attention for some strange reason was We Are Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together. I fucking loved that song. It was cheesy, but I loved it. But it wasn't until Reputation that suddenly I was like, oh. Mm. And from Reputation on, I really enjoyed these records. Now, I wouldn't call myself a big fan. I still play Reputation. I played Lover probably once from beginning to end, and I thought it was a beautiful album. And I've played Evermore and Levermore, whatever those two were called. And I really like the Midnights.
Nevermind. I think it was called Nevermind.
Something
right?
like that. But she's super talented in the songwriting, but what is it about these adult records that have become, to me, some of the best work that she has put out?
Okay, you see, now we're gonna have to like disagree with each other right away here because
I warned him. I said I got bad news for you, Courtney. You think you're bringing on an ally? No.
Here's the thing. I love Reputation is my favorite Taylor Swift album. So let's start there.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. And which is a little bit of a contrarian opinion, because I know that not that many people are like, lots of people think that that record is whack or whatever, because she tries to rap on it and Future's on there and, you know, that she's stretched in various ways or whatever. Mm-hmm. Caramonica, our friend John Caramonica is Stan's Reputation as well. So good for him. And I like Lover a lot, really like that record.
Yeah.
What's it called? Folklore. Mm-hmm. The first one that she called? Pandemic album. Mm-hmm. I thought
first
it was
or,
really pretty and lots of good
record.
Stuff on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the one she released after that sounded like her outtakes from Folklore. Like she didn't even like the stuff that didn't make it on that record a little bit, but she was like, oh, I'm gonna throw another record out there because part of her thing is being the most prolific, the hardest working, you know what I mean? She floods the zone with her stuff, you know? And then this one that just came out, I can't wrap my ears around it. I mean, I don't know. It's like, and the problem is, it's not that I want.
Jody, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just like, yeah. I'm not.
I want to like it. I want to like everything Taylor Swift puts out. But to me, I just can't hear the hook. I can't hear the songs on this thing. It sounds like a kind of ooze of production and Taylor Swift. You know. Also, I mean, here's the thing. Maybe it's slightly different for you, Courtney, because you came late to this thing. But like, I started with her pretty early. Like I can even talk shit about like how, my personal relationship with Taylor.
Please do. That's why
like
we invited
all, like
you.
All journalists. Well, no. So she works journalists. She knows how to, you know, and she started doing that at a very young age to try and like build relationships, a little relationship with her. So you sort of felt like you were friends with her a little bit. So because she really is savvy about playing this game. So I actually did what I think was the first like cover story on her for a national magazine, for which was Blender sent me down to Nashville in 2008 to interview her and write a feature. And she was, I think, 17 then. I went to her house with her parents. We hung out for a few days. She drove me around in her little car. We went to Applebee's to eat. Okay. And she was like, at that point, she was smart enough to know that Applebee's was like, that was super, that she was like a rube for taking me to Applebee's. And I was like some, you know, sophisticate from New York City, but you could tell that she was like not. So she was very, very smart and charming and all that. And, you know, she emailed me afterwards. And like, I've met her many times since and, you know, done other stories on her. And so she always makes you kind of feel like you're her good friend, which is like, and I think there's a lot of, she does that to a lot of journalists, which explains some of the fawning coverage and some of the higher profile outlets. And I think so props to Cara Moniker for resisting some of that thing, because he just disses her right and left these days. But,
well, that is John. Let's be honest.
That's true. He wants to be the one who's not like the others, but he's keeping it kind of real. But anyway, so what was I going to say? Okay. So like I've listened to her a lot in the first place. Then I've got a 9-year-old now. You know, I've got Amy knows I've got an 18-year-old who's now off at college, but who's not.
Sasha.
Thank
Sasha.
You. Yay, yeah, Sasha. Thank you. But he's not down with Taylor Swift at all. But my 9-year-old likes Taylor. And so we've listened to a lot of this stuff. And in fact, he's like written some songs in a very Taylor-esque mode of his own, which makes her songs even seem more absurd, because a 9-year-old is like kind of talking that Taylor shit himself. You know what I mean? Like her tropes and her like little vibe is showing up in my 9-year-old song.
I'm really trying, but I'm like dying of thinking like Theo in his like room filled with Legos writing like confessional songs.
Hey, you might have a prodigy.
Not even. Trust me. They're sort of gibberish, but that's kind of, anyway. But the point is, so like I have some of her, on this new record. So I feel like I've heard so much of this before, more sharply done. And I'm like, where are the hooks at? There's a couple songs that I like that sound like they're songs, but the rest of it just kind of,
which ones? Maybe it's the same one.
I like the first one, Lavender Haze. That thing. That's
everybody likes that one.
Yeah, and she knew, and when you listen to the album, it's like, yes, this makes sense that this starts off the album, because nothing else sounds like this. And it's a full groove and it's a full moment, and it pulls you in to be like, all right, well, let me hear what else is going to be on here.
Right.
And she starts the record like this.
I mean, I don't understand why she doesn't just like, I think this has been said before by people. I've seen this recently, that she needs an editor. She needs someone. Mm-hmm. She needs like someone who's not a yes man or woman to tell her, hey, this song isn't even like hold out for some better stuff. You know what I mean? Like put 10 song strongs on your record, not like 18 kind of okay ones, because like, I don't know. She's got you know, a global audience of zillions who are, no matter what she drops, they're going to say, oh, not only is this like the greatest thing ever, but it's like, you know, mysterious, because she's all into the Easter eggs and there's all this mystique around her music, which is bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get that either. I mean, I figured out what it is. This is, I think, Avamore and Levermore and Raymond and Flanagan are the only ones I've ever listened to. Raymore and Flanagan, the pandemic records in this. And she has, you know, like everyone else who doesn't really like her, I like Trouble, because that's a song that if you don't like her, you like her. And I think she's really talented, but I've suddenly realized, not suddenly, I can't relate to it. I don't care about anything she's going through, because I've already done this, number one. I feel like it's not that I don't like her. I think she's certainly talented, but the whole kind of like, yeah, the Easter egg thing, and then I'm going to put out another record and charge you for it at midnight, and this is going to sound, I must preface this by, I'm a feminist, and I have gone out with more assholes than she will ever go out with in her life. But we're still talking about John Mayer.
Okay, well, hold on. This is where I'm going to, the name of the album is Midnights, and what it is, the concept is things you think about when you're alone laying in your bed in the middle of the night. And I will say this. Let me finish. Hold on. Because I know that sometimes when I'm laying in my bed, I just think about random shit. I've thought about shit randomly that happened in high school, shit that happened when I was in Sony 9,000 years ago. Weird random shit. And sometimes you think about old relationships and shit. It just comes to you. You know what I mean?
But do you write songs?
Well, about I could, if I could and sing with a guitar and sell over a million and it's only Tuesday, yes, I would. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have a problem with if the concept is the kind of the things we all think about, how we feel about ourselves, past relationship, life, in the middle of the night. Are you telling me that you never, in the middle of the night, when you just can't sleep, are not laying there and parts of your life?
Never.
Which is crazy. Because
not somebody I went out with when I was 19.
You have something to say about everything and all the time.
No, but I mean, I went out with an answer. No, why would I wake up in the middle of the night about somebody I went out with when I was 19?
I did not ask you if it was a person. I never think I said you never in the middle of the night sometimes.
Nope.
Well,
I don't wake up in the middle of the night. I'm blessed with really good sleep habits. Oh, Lord, but you know what I'm saying?
I have somebody to say here. So here's the thing. Okay. Like now I'm going to try and be a little more specific about my reservation. Okay. First of all, let's just say what's good about, like her super duper strength, I think, is writing melodies. Like she can write great songs. So she's kind of a prodigy in that department. And when she began her career, she was doing something kind of novel because she was writing these songs about her emotional life as a teenager and then as like a young adult, right? In a very diaristic way, I'm this kind of like upper middle class or rich white girl, but I'm gonna like, you know, write about my experience in this way that's a little bit literary, that's, you know, very, that's confessional in, you know, draws on the country tradition of, so like the songs like kind of have, you know, a real solid shape, right? And she like just, you know, was putting in songs ideas, feelings that you don't normally see, at least in big, big hit songs, right? So that was cool. And what I'm hearing these days is she has lost sight of what she's really good at, which is number one, the just writing great melodies. Cause she seems recently, like at least since the last couple albums, a little bit with Folklore, like she's the songs are getting like, you know, a little woozier, like they're not as tightly like pop songs, right? And I feel like that's what she's best at. And she's become like a poet taster, and she's trying to like write all this like flowery shit, which is not her, like just not her strength. She's best, I think, when she's like gives that stuff a rest. But here's the biggest thing, like her emotional life is becoming less and less interesting, I think, because she doesn't have all that many novel, you know, doesn't have a great range of experiences. She's like the most famous person in the world, so she has to like, she can't really get out there and do stuff, right? So she writes a lot about like, oh, what does everyone in the world think of me? Which she's kind of exhausted that, right? And she kind of has to turn to old relationships maybe, because she's in a, you know, good for her, Mazel Tov, she's in like a good relationship, like a solid relationship. So
it has been for a couple of years, right?
So a few years now, right?
Yeah.
So she's written some nice lovey-dovey songs about that. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, lots of songwriters have admit that they fuck up their own personal life in order to keep the songs flowing. So she doesn't need to want, you know, but like also, like, I don't know, this is something I was texting with a couple friends of mine, actually with Ann Powers, you know, you guys know Anne, and I was texting with her. And one thing I was trying to say to her is like, in the past, like, okay, maybe even people who were, you know, like a rich white singer-songwriter type, or, you know, a upper middle class white, you know, in the past, those people, when they decided to like go into music, they gravitated to Bohemia, right? So they had like a range of like influences they were drawing in this, not just like what Taylor Swift is drawing on. Like they read literature, they like looked at art, they read poetry, they, you know what I mean, were immersed in like a kind of demimonde, you know what I mean? They sought that thing out. So they were like, had a slightly, you know, she really has been, she grew up, you know, the daughter of a stockbroker and a stay-at-home mom, which is cool, you know what I mean? But like had a very emotionally stable, good childhood. And so her muse has always just been about her like romantic relationships such as they are. Right. And she just haven't had a whole lot of other experiences besides like people shit talking her on social media because she's the most famous woman in the world, which is like, I mean, there's interesting stuff to say about it, but not all that much. One reason I think reputation
is what I realized is hard to be inspired by your world too when you have that kind of an energy, because all of a sudden you become super, super famous. You create a very insular world, which is just a certain amount of people, and all of your movements become trapped in that. So you're not just out living life. You're living a life that's very controlled, very planned. And a lot of her songs have been based on relationships, and she's kept this one pretty private. So I guess that means a lot of her inspiration is kind of lost if she's not having makeup breakups in that kind of situation.
Yeah, but women, you can sing. I don't know why, as we were talking, and she, to me, is a vastly superior artist, but I thought about Roseanne Cash for a second, who went from a pop country and obviously comes out of a pedigree. And when Roseanne Cash broke up with Rodney Crowell and then went with John Leventhal and started getting more, and I'm putting big quotes here, mature and introspective in her writing, it wasn't this constant, and you know, my joking around about boyfriends, but it wasn't constantly this, oh, poor me, I was taken advantage of. Oh, poor me.
Yeah, but they're different people. And they're also, we're talking through an age where there was no social media. People weren't watching
But what I'm trying to say is it just gets tiresome. And part of it may be my age, but it just gets tiresome. Album after album, and I'm not expecting, you know, Taylor Swift to do a song about, you know, economic disparity, but it's just tiresome that you are still going on about a relationship that lasted 5 minutes with a known douchebag. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, and part of it, I think, you know, lots of people write only love songs or write like just songs about relationships their whole life. But like, I think there's some element of her being a little bit, this sounds terrible because like I'm sitting here trashing her and I actually like really love a lot of her music and think
you're
she's
like,
amazing.
I love her,
you know
she's
I mean?
Great, but let me just tell you what the bitch did.
You're not getting a fruit basket, Jody. Yeah, you're not going to get a fruit basket with a note on this one.
But we got to bury this thing. This thing can't get out there in public, okay? But she's like a little bit, you know, she's a little callow for whatever reason, and maybe it's just because that she's been like, you know, so famous since she was 16, 17 years old, you know what I mean? So she didn't have a chance to like really grow. I don't know. And she also has a level of fame. I mean, Roseanne Cash, sorry. It isn't
obviously,
close,
no,
I mean?
I don't know why I thought of Roseanne Cash.
She's got global, you know?
A woman artist. I just suddenly thought of Roseanne Cash, someone who came from country and went to pop.
But look at Beyonce. Okay, Beyonce was a child artist and star. She was like 18, 17 when Destiny's Child was hitting at first.
Younger, right?
Right. Okay.
No,
she grew up.
Well, they were in it for a long time, but when that first Bugaboo album, she turned 18 during, I believe, that first album. So yeah, she was like 17 when they first put out a record.
So totally analogous there. Also, Beyonce grew up with great privilege. Now she's Black. So it's a totally different thing to grow up like a rich Black girl in Houston and like to grow up be like Taylor Swift, right? You know what I mean? But, no cap, but like Beyonce is like, you know, infinitely more talented musically than Taylor Swift, but Beyonce's kind of got she's sort of a genius musically in her way. And Taylor is more of like a great crafts person, right? But like, you know, like Beyonce's got like a fuller emotional life for whatever reason, even though she, you know what I mean? She's had more stuff that she is able to draw on more. And maybe that's just because she's.
Well, she's married. She's a mom of three. She's also in her 40s, right? Taylor's at that she's a young woman of 32 years old, right? She hasn't been married yet, and as far as we know. And I think that just comes with experience and living life a little bit more. But you also see, as Beyoncé's gotten older in the music industry and put out more records, she's also retreated more and more away from the public part of the life, where, you know, Taylor still is very forward and face-fronting with these records. I don't know. I feel crazy because I really like this record, The Midnights. I enjoy it.
You can like it. I like parts of it a lot.
I think that it, you know, I like adult Taylor Swift. I liked her when she started cursing and giving you a little more adultism, because those earlier songs just weren't my thing. Like, you know, what was that one? Romeo sets it on my face. And
I actually thought that was a very well-written song. I got to say, I didn't, you know, Jody, I just want to bring up, I don't want to talk about Anne behind her back, because I like Anne a lot. And I thought she made an interesting point, and I really thought about it reading on the interwebs. She was talking about, and what you were talking about to piggyback on Beyoncé, we all had kids at Taylor's age, or most of us had kids at Taylor's age. And women are often defined by certain benchmarks, relationships and children. And Taylor is interesting in the sense that she is now of the age where you're like, when, you know, where's the baby? So it is interesting that she is talking about relationships and growing and this sort of, in a lot of ways, in introspection, that once you have a kid, you're really not allowed to be that self-absorbed about your life. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking from my experience. You know, you have to start thinking of other people, you know?
I think that's right. And we will get her baby songs, for better or worse, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know whether I'm looking forward to that or dreading it.
Well, you know, the albums are always usually good after the first baby. The first baby, because the kids come, like, remember, Ray of Light was after the baby. And that's just, you know, the after the baby albums are always full of that, and first Falling in Love albums the first time. And sometimes a divorce album. A divorce album could be good.
Nothing ever happened for me after the baby other than a lot of not sleeping.
That's right. But you also got a lifetime supply of Nike sneakers. So I think
true. Right. In the last couple of years, I have gotten I have hooked up with that.
I just want to say one thing about
you.
Courtney,
can say
which is
three
like,
things.
Okay. I'm holding open the possibility that I'm going to wind up liking Midnights, because this has happened to me before, because her albums are growers. So, you know what I mean? And the truth is I need to sit with the thing a little bit more, and I'm sure I'm going to hear a bit of it around the house. Cause my son's more into Lil Nas X these days, but he'll play some Taylor.
Right.
So maybe I'll learn to love Midnights too. But yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, I don't know. When I think about the songs of hers that I think are really, really special, there's some, it's usually some combination of just the tunes themselves being great and her actually coming at something from a novel point of view. Like there's that song on Reputation, Delicate.
I think that song.
That song is so good.
It's gorgeous. I love the lyrics. I love the way she's singing it. That's a great. And it was the last single from that album and the biggest song from that album.
Right. And the thing about that song is she's talking about like a moment in a relationship in a kind of novel way, because she's talking about that moment before you jump all the way in. Like she doesn't want to, I guess she's just, the vibe is that she doesn't want to scare the dude off.
Right.
And because everything's sort of perched on the edge there. And that is really, I'm getting a call from my older son right now, you know, and I'm going to be like, nope, there he goes. Okay.
Your son calls you? Wow.
He calls me from college. Is that, you know, I don't know whether that's good or bad.
Jealous. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, he's like one of these Gen Z, dad, how do I run the laundry? How do I run the washing machine kind of thing? How do I wash a dish?
Yeah.
But that's my fault. That's helicopter parenting. This is what you get. But. Okay. So, when she's great, she's great. I just wish that she would just take some more time only to put out her good shit. because I feel like there's like on it, you know, there's the really the best stuff is so good. But
this album is good, you know, shit to me. It's good to me. I okay, don't know. Maybe I'm hearing something okay. different. I really maybe like find this album.
Maybe find it. Maybe stop working with Jack Antonoff. What's so weird to me is that he's usually Mr. Hooky, and now all of a sudden he's Mr. Ambient. Yeah, I agree. Her melodies. There's some good stuff on this record, but it just sort of all blends into
Midnight.
Each other.
It, to me, it fits the theme, and for some reason, I'm really enjoying this record.
She's not waking up at midnight. She's
well, you know. Here's one more thing I'm going to say about that. It's like when I heard the title, I had this idea. I don't know if you know on the album Lover, there's a song called False God, which to me is like her trying to do Sade. Right. It like literally sounds. It sounds like kind of. Promise era Sade song, maybe with a little bit more of like those later records, like, you know, whatever, Lover's Rock, that kind of thing. But there's a sax on there, and it's just got that, it's got that vibe. And that's what I was hoping for, because I thought, okay, this is going to be like some kind of noirish late night album. I thought we were going to get like some version of Taylor doing Sade or Portishead, and I was here for it. But to me, this is kind of sounds a little bit like some of her other stuff, but okay. I'm gonna take Courtney's follow Courtney's lead and try and like, you know, put the headphones on late at night and see if I think
by next week you're gonna be like, I didn't like it so much in the beginning, but you know, it's kind of grown on me, and there's more about it that I like than dislike, because it has that kind of energy to me.
Yeah. Jody, can I ask you a quick, because Courtney and I were discussing this, so you posted something on the interwebs. You posed a really interesting question and asking people to look at this record from the sort of marketing and the sort of mega, mega buy my stuff aspect of it. Am I simplifying your point that you said about that?
No, I guess you're not. Like, this is a little more Taylor hateration. So, God, I don't know what's going on here.
You're not getting the fruit basket.
I mean, you are so off the Christmas card list.
Yeah, no, forget it.
You're not getting it.
Yeah. But no, I was just wondering, like, you know, she puts out like multiple vinyl copies of her records these days.
There are 20 different configurations of this album being sold. 20.
As we speak, another one is coming out.
There's literally 20 because the vinyl, there's four different covers, and I think each one has maybe a different bonus track. And yes, it's selling a lot, but I'm kind of like, 20 is...
20.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I mean, 20. I guess like part of it is like, on the one hand, okay... And any artist like making money, I'm down with that. Like, it's the record companies that are evil and the record executives. So, okay. And, you know, I guess Rihanna and Jay-Z are billionaires now. Taylor maybe wants to be a billionaire. I mean, that's not like an aspiration that I can relate to, but I don't know. Like, she needs to like, she wants to make as much money as she can. Okay, I guess. But I don't know. You know, something feels a little icky about it. Like, especially when you know she's milking it. Like, a lot of her fans are like maybe a little bit younger, and they're like, they have to be Taylor completists. So they want to buy like the
souvenir
clock.
That's what I said to Amy. They're going to get every configuration. If there's four cassettes, they're getting four cassettes. They're going to get four pieces of the vinyl. And you know, vinyl's not like, vinyl today is 29 and up. You know what I mean? Usually 25 and up. So
it's
spending
it's
a
an
lot
investment.
Of money. Yeah, it is.
That feels a little fucked up. But also, did you guys see when that thing, that piece or whatever it was, appeared online, where they were tallying which celebrities have the highest emissions from their private jet flights?
Yes.
And it's, basically,
no.
Okay, so basically, it was like which celebrities are doing the net. You know, whose net contribution to climate change emissions are the most egregious, because they use their private jet the X number of days a year to do ridiculous, like little 10-mile flights or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Taylor was numero uno, like more than the Kardashians, more than anybody else. Right. And then Taylor's publicist came out and like their answer to this, because that's the kind of, you know, PR moment that Taylor Swift does not want to have, because she's worked real hard to prove her woke bona fides, and she got slammed, I think, in the past, I think kind of unfairly, you know, that she was as like some sort of like, you know, bad
Republican. And they thought that she was all these things because she never spoke about politics. And I'm like, what if she is Republican? It's okay. But people really wanted her to take a position so badly. And they kind of pinned a lot of stuff on her that turned out to be factually incorrect.
Right. And I think like she came out of country music, and in Nashville, the idea is you don't ever alienate any portion of your fan base by taking a political position whatsoever. Plus, most people in Nashville, like in the country world, are a bunch of fucking Trumpy Republicans. But Taylor is not, never has been. So finally she got it together and she was like, oh, wait, it's way worse for me to say nothing than to say something. So she started doing, you know, saying, oh, don't vote for Republicans, like, you know, dropping songs where she said, she tried to prove that she was like besties with the Queer Eye guys, you know, all that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, so this is back to the jet. That was like a PR calamity for her. So, but her publicist came out and said, well, it's not Taylor's fault, 'cause she was loaning her jet out, which is not a reasonable, like it's still your jet. And just 'cause you're loaning your jet out to your supermodel friend or whatever.
You know, it takes a lot of fuel to fly banners, I hate you, John Mayer, over his house all the time. Those constant banners. Jake Gyllenhaal, you ruined my life, and I got 10 songs out of it. That's not a good, like, it wasn't much.
Because the truth is, there's a lot of big stars there just not going to go back to flying commercial. It's not happening. So you just can't even answer it, because it's just not going to happen.
That is right. Yeah, no, you're right. And her excuse is that she can't go anywhere without being mobbed. I feel that, but... Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Anyway,
I worked
with
a really big artist, and I remember when the switch started coming to flying private, because the artist was like, they stop me every time at every airport. They go through my bags. They want to see what I have in my bag. It's every time. I'm getting searched every time. It started becoming, and I know that sounds like, but it really did start becoming a situation at airports where it was like, you have to kind of rethink how you travel. So I understood that too. And listen, the truth of the matter is, we can all be mad about it. People can jump up and down the screen, but you have certain people who are not going to get on commercial flights. It's not happening.
No way. Which artist did you work with? Come on now. Who was it?
None. I don't know. I didn't
come on, Courtney. No Easter egg. No Easter eggs for you.
No.
And what does that mean, Easter egg? Was I napping when that became a phrase? I said
hidden secrets inside of hidden little nuggets all right, that have
Jody,
double meanings.
In honor of the tribe and the rise in anti-Semitism, I want it to be those little chocolates now that you get for Hanukkah.
Oh, like the gelt.
The gelt. Yeah, I want it to gelt. We are now going to have Hanukkah gelt instead of Easter egg. Is that fair? Can we do that? Jody, let's talk basketball for a second.
Oh man, I heard you guys talking about the Nets. It's rough because I mean,
a mess.
It's just a mess. It's like I think, you know, Courtney had it right, because you've got too many divas on this team, and that, you know, and they're a particular kind. Like, I mean, it's weird. I really love Kyrie, which is a crazy thing to say, because
I love Kyrie too. I've been a Kyrie fan since day one.
I mean, I love the way he plays the game, and when he decides to play.
I was like, when he plays.
and I even like some of his freaky energy. I mean, like, I flat earth or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, but he's a Muslim. Cool. That's good. Like, he's on a spiritual journey. He's doing all kinds, but he's kind of a toxic influence on a team. You know what I mean? He does fuck with the chemistry of a team. And then KD, who's obviously like a transcendent player. I don't know. He just doesn't really want to be. I was convinced the Nets were going to win the title at the beginning of last year.
I was sure of it.
I was 100% sure of it. And yeah, I don't know.
Have you given up on our Knicks?
They hate the coach. They didn't even want the coach. The players didn't want to be there. They wanted the coach fired. Everybody comes back. Who thought that was going to work? Like, the fact that they did, and then they brought in Ben Simmons, the guy who didn't play in Philadelphia. Like, who sat down and said, you know what, this is excellent. We have everything that we need. The mess.
I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, the moment was when the Nets made the Harden trade.
Right.
And they got rid of that young talent, like, you know, especially Jared Allen and Caris LeVert.
Right.
I was like, no. You're getting rid of your team. The team had good chemistry then. And then they just brought in Harden, who's another uber freaky diva.
Chasing the ring kids, Ernie, which is always the big chasing the ring. It's like chasing the fun. You never catch up to the fun when you chase the fun. And if you're chasing the ring, it's like you're just going to bounce all around chasing something you ain't never going to catch, which is why we are Knicks fans over here.
And that's right. To Amy's question, I think maybe the Knicks they're going to win the title before the Nets ever do, because
You heard it here first.
Maybe not anytime soon, but you know, first they've got like a young core, and maybe they'll finish, they'll get themselves in the draft lottery and can get, you guys know about Wembanyama. You know about him?
Yes.
Everybody wants him.
Everybody needs Wembanyama. You know what I mean? And whoever gets Wembanyama is all set.
Yeah.
Because that dude, he's like Giannis meets KD.
And all of these players now are like, I've never seen anybody play like him. He's
the phenom. He's totally the phenom, you know.
Let me say this about my Knicks. Hold on. I got to say this. That's why I am glad that the Knicks did not trade away all of our young talent for Donovan Mitchell. Do we like Donovan Mitchell? Sure. He's an all-star, but he's in Cleveland and nobody's talking about them, and they won all their games. And they wanted all of our young talent. And I'm like, you can't keep giving away the young talent hoping that the names will just bring it in, because let's talk about KD in Brooklyn. KD has played with everybody from the time he was young till now. You know what I mean? And it wasn't until he went to the team that beat him the year before that he got those championships. And when he's came to Brooklyn as the focal point and the leader, it's clear he wasn't saying, listen, I want to be the leader of something. I just want to be a really good player in something. So I look at Brooklyn, and every year at the beginning of the season, when they talk about the roster, they're putting such high expectations, and it's a mess. And yeah, we always have a low expectation of our Knicks, but I'm sorry, the Knicks are scrappy. They are New York, and I'm glad to see that this young core is really kind of exciting, and I really have hope that we will be able to push through and at least make it farther than we have before, just like our Giants. Our Giants haven't been 6-1 in a gazillion years, you know what I mean? So I have hope for my New York teams. I'm never going to give up on them. And to me, the Nets are like a Jersey team that they dropped in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Like, my kids are Nets fans because they grew up in Brooklyn, so they think that the Nets are a Brooklyn team. They don't even really understand the lineage properly. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The Knicks have a lovability factor, just like the Giants and the Jets do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not like loaded down with all-stars, and they're kind of building from the, like, in that grassroots way. So it's wild. I mean,
I will tell you that Lucian and Abby and the grandchild just moved to LA for work. And one of my biggest fears is that Enzo will not grow up being a Nick fan. And I don't know, as Lucian said, it might be child abuse at this point to raise a child as a Nick fan, but I'm old because I think it teaches a child character and about how to be disappointed and, you know, to stick to itiveness. So that's,
well, I mean, if he's a Lakers fan, he'll understand, he'll learn that right now anyway. So, because they're nowheresville, you know what I mean?
And that's maybe a disaster. It's just kind of like,
that is like,
and you know why I feel bad for Russell Westbrook? Because he really was a great player, and watching him in a system is not good for him, trying to find his way and making these mistakes. And they're making the entire season about him and, you know, his ability sort of declining. Meanwhile, LeBron James, there was no player put on that team that LeBron James didn't want. And he gets to sit back like, almost like you didn't help construct this team and ask for all your old friends to come here. This is a mess. It's a mess.
No, that is, I mean, I happen to love LeBron. But you are absolutely right. He built that, you know, he's not a good general manager. He still hasn't learned that. And he's going to wind up, I think, eventually going somewhere else, trying to, you know, for his last couple seats, try to get back to Cleveland. I don't know where, but it ain't happening. It's not going to ever happen in LA anymore. The Lakers are cooked.
He made a lot of
wrong. I mean, I can only imagine how much he regrets. I mean, they had a decent core that they got rid of. a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Caruso and
and they have a bunch of people on there from Clutch Sports. Do you notice that? It's like, it's yeah. really interesting.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Very interesting. It's very interesting.
But wait, Russell Westbrook, do you guys, now here's a question. Do you guys look on, do you follow like the fits of these NBA guys on Instagram? Like who's like the way they dress? Because Russell Westbrook still.
He's sharp, right? He's always been super sharp.
Oh, he still keeps it real. He is, see, that's to me, he goes in the Hall of Fame just for his fashion.
Fashion, yes, definitely.
He's the Andre 3000 fashion-wise of basketball.
I mean, they're all trying to be the Andre 3000 now. Like, yeah,
I feel like he's the one who really started coming in where full-on moments that almost played with gender, some of the fits in the clothes he was wearing.
The young thug of basketball.
One coming through really wearing some shit where people were scratching their head going, what is that?
And now they're all doing it. And Cam Newton did that a little bit too. Although, yeah, you know, Cam Newton, I don't know if, you know, Cam Newton, I don't know if
I hate the way he
dresses. His look.
I cannot.
I get it.
The way he dresses. No, it's horrible. It's horrible. I'm like, you need a gay friend, sir, because you look like
whoever his stylist is not gay.
Is that Spoonie?
In honor of our Taylor Swift, Spoonie, in honor of our Taylor Swift conversation, I'm just going to grab a random cat and bring it into the screen. And then, and now.
She does like a random cat.
She likes a random
cat. She really does like a random cat. It's really funny. Like, I look at Cam Newton sometimes and I'm like, mirrors are your friend. Because there's an idea there, but if you do it when the lights are off, it does not work.
No, right. you do need to turn. All right. Jody?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for
coming. Oh, thank you for coming. I had so much fun talking to you guys. You. And actually, I had even more fun just listening before I popped on.
Let me plug the book again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hold it up to the non-existent Two Wheels Good, The History and Mystery of the Bicycle. And I have to don't think I'm like stalking you in any way, shape, or form, but what I teach sort of around where I think you drink coffee. I guess that sounds a little stalky. And I saw a bicycle with a baby seat in the back. I went, oh, I bet Jody's in here. But I didn't go in.
Well, you know, Amy, I have to go. I'm taking my Theo to soccer practice later today up near you. And I'm going to be at that Hungry Ghost on Fulton.
My corner.
Today.
On my corner.
So,
all right,
so,
call me.
Okay,
call
I'll be there. You can pop by and see me and see my bike. That's the thing. I live this life. I don't just fucking talk shit about bikes. Okay. I'm all about it. So.
He is. Okay. He is. And not one of those like new Brooklyn people who have like a go-kart behind their bike dragging their children along. Riding the bike.
He's really riding the bike.
I have seen you.
And after today, Taylor Swift is going to be sending him notes being
I cannot believe
you are now no longer in the cult of saying I'm great.
Courtney, you're gonna get the fruit basket now.
That's right. Now she's gonna transfer Courtney. Her. Oh man! All right.
You know what's really funny? I've never seen her in concert, but I have seen her perform because I was working with my client the night of the MTV Awards when that whole thing happened, and literally there. So I saw her. All of the stuff. It was really.
You know, that's where we get the title of the show. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know that I did not know that? But that's the whole story. And when I told a friend, I was like, how didn't you know that that's what he was saying? I said, because it was chaos once he was on stage. I wasn't hearing what he was saying. I was gagging that something was happening. You know what I mean? So it was like. Crazy.
I know talking about Kanye is the last thing anybody wants to do right now. Uh-huh. And revisiting this episode from 100 million years ago. But I'm still fascinated by the fact that he's up there basically just trying to curry favor with Jay and Beyonce so desperately that he has to go up there and interrupt this teenager in her little moment because he's just like, he needs their love so badly. It's poignant. I mean, maybe it's less poignant now, but.
It was a little less poignant now.
Weird and self-serving. Yeah. And what I remember the most is she looked devastated and at backstage, everyone's crying. It just was not good. It wasn't good.
Well, this is the last thing I'll leave you with. I will dish. Mm-hmm. Back when I was Taylor Swift's friend, I interviewed her.
You can still be her friend, Jody.
Yeah, okay.
You can still be her friend.
Okay, fine. Let's not put the transcript of this online. But anyway, so I went to her apartment in Nashville one time to interview her. Mm-hmm. And up on her wall, she has a big frame photo of that moment.
Really?
All right.
Can I just say this about her, though? For someone who's so wealthy and has the best security, why does everybody keep walking up into every one of her houses? They get into an apartment in New York. They walk into her house in Rhode Island. I'm like, wait a minute. Do you have a welcome sign at the door? Like, why is everybody able to get into every one of your houses?
I have seen the house in Rhode Island several times because Candace lives in, and it's like
it's
a 25-minute drive.
It's the one that's like on a hill
drive.
Or something, right?
No, it is like we literally drove and it goes, where's Taylor's house? And all you have to do is go, oh yeah, it's that one.
Big house in the town. It is fucking big.
Right. But no, it's massive. And this is a very, Watchill is not a cheap, you know, a hood, you know what I mean? But you're like driving. Oh, it's the one with the gates and the guard and the compound overlooking
the ocean. To Courtney's point, you know that this guy did like get up in her house there because he swam there. He fucking swam there.
All right, bless
you. Remember the one at Tribeca, somebody got in. Wasn't he sleeping in a bedroom or something?
No, he walked in. I know. Like, I know.
You're one of the
She needs to write an album about how men in security have let her down. Not
I'm
the
like,
men
how
in her
do
life.
People keep walking up into your house, like, hey, I'm home. Hi, I'm here.
I know. Hi. Where's Jake Gyllenhaal? All right. Oh, Jody, I want you, by the way, I'm just tell you on air so you remember. I want you to send that list. You had that, your top albums of the year, and just send me some tracks of that because you have super cool taste in music, man.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Yeah. All right. Court, my friend.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. You know what it is. I'm going to let you finish podcast weekly on the Pantheon Podcast Network, the number one music podcast network in the world with over 80 amazing shows. You can find us there. Download the Pantheon Podcast app. You can find us even easier in your pocket. And, you know, thanks for listening. Leave a review. Leave a star. Tell a friend. Tell Taylor Swift, send a fruit basket, send Knicks tickets, send a voucher for weed from the weed guy. Send it all. We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Jody.
Bye. Thank you.